Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachem Menachot Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Bet. In the middle of a discussion of Rabbi Ashaya's observation that Rabbi Shimon would maintain that a mincha which has suffered from pigul would not be vulnerable to Tumat Ochlin. And he did that based on a Tosefta in Uktzin, which I put on the previous help page and on the top of this help page, at least the second half of it on the top of this help page, in order to be able to see the full text, where Rabbi Shimon, disagreeing with Chachamim, said that anything that is Asur Bahana'a is not Mekabel Tumat, Metame Tumat Ochlin. Here is the challenge. Meitavir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Notar Shu Metame Tumat Ochlin, Yesh Notar Shu Metame Tumat Ochlin. Notar, meaning kodshim meat that has lapsed past its time, in some cases is metame, in some cases not. Ketzad. Lan lifnei zrika, if it was overnight before zrika, and metame tumat ochlin, because there was never any point that it could be eaten. Lachar zrika, but if you did zrika and then just left the meat there, metame tumat ochlin. That's a classic case of notar. Now, pigul ben kochim kochim ben kochim kalim, and metame tumat ochlin. But pigul is never metame tumat ochlin, but pigul b'mincha metame tumat ochlin. Here he explicitly says the exact opposite of what Rabbi Shai tried to pin on him, which is that a mincha mefugelet has tumat ochlin. And the simple reason is that whatever grains you had were edible before you brought them to the mikdash and sanctified them, and then somebody fouled up in the korban. And the answer is lo kasha. Kancha itala shata kosher, kancha lo itala shata kosher. If it never had a moment that it could have been eaten, then indeed it's not metame tumat ochlin, and that's what Rabbi Shai is referring to. Now, hechidamin lo itala shata kosher. How could you ever imagine a situation where grains were never edible, because they went straight from being inedible grains to being muktash? The answer is da'akdushinu mimchubar. If they fellow sanctified the grains while they were still on the ground. Well, that means that before they were even edible, and before they were viable or vulnerable to tumat ochlin, because mechubar is not metame tumat ochlin, he sanctified them. Once you sanctify them, they're of course inedible until they've been processed properly, and then you did pigul. Okay, now, v'lifrakinu. So why don't you just redeem them? The answer is, ha, nechalach leishna da'amar Rabbi Shaya t'me'in niftin, t'me'in niftin. According to the version where Rabbi Shaya disagreed with Shmuel and said, you cannot redeem kedusha damim if they're tahor, shapir, then I understand. The stuff was never tameh. You don't have the rights to redeem it. And therefore, when the next thing that happened was pigul, it never had shara kosher. Halach leishna da'amar fila t'me'in niftin. Remember, there was a second version of Rabbi Shaya where he agreed with Shmuel. Then lifrakinu, why don't you redeem them? The answer is hashtamiyat, lo parik. But the reality was he didn't redeem them. Chiva and the boy parik, leishman and the Rabbi Shimon, da'amar kol amei liftor kabadoi dami. But let's take a step back. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that something that could be redeemed is considered already redeemed for these purposes. Meaning that we have to view as if the thing was redeemed, and therefore, as we'll see in a moment, and therefore, since, according to the version that Rabbi Shaya was of the opinion that you could redeem Kedushat Domim, even if it's Tahor, this grain could have been redeemed earlier down the line, and therefore it had Shada Kosher. How do we know Rabbi Shimon believes that? The time Rabbi Shimon Omer, Para, meaning Para Duma, Metama Tumat Ochlin, it does have Tumat Ochlin. Now, of course, an animal while it's alive is not Metame. And therefore, the only way the para can be metame tumat ochlin or get tuma, could receive tuma, which it cannot do while it's alive, is after you shechted it. There's some moment when it's okay. Why? Hoil vaitala shata kosher. What was that? You could redeem a para right there when you shechted it. Why? Because let's say you found a better para than it, you could redeem it and use the other para. So therefore, since it could be redeemed, we consider as if it's redeemed, so that it had shata kosher, and therefore it's makabel tuma. Now, hachi hashta, is that really a proof? Bishtma para menet liftoti, I understand that you want to redeem the para. Why? Shimatzacher, no, I mena mitzvah liftota. It's the right thing to do to redeem it. It's not just a neutral act. If you found a better para. Alahani menachot mitzvah liftota, is there any mitzvah to redeem and desanctify these grains? So therefore, we would say the following. Rabbi Shimon may say that when there is a positive motivation to redeem something, we'll consider it already redeemed, and therefore shata kosher, and therefore tumat ochlin will apply. But when there's something that could be redeemed, but there's no motivation to redeem it, no religious motivation, therefore we're not going to say that it is. Is that really true? Think about this. In the Tosefta on top of the page, it says that Rabbi Shimon says that if you had lina lifnei zrika, which means it lapsed overnight before you did zrika, there was a mitzvah to do zrika in the proper time. V'boy zarak, and if you wanted to, you could have done zrika. Rabbi Shimon still says there's no tumat ochlin because, in matter of fact, you didn't do zrika, which means that even though there is a positive motivation to do this act that would generate shata kosher, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. So the answer is Achmai Skinner Shalaitah Shut Bayon Lemizurke. He says, what's Rabbi Shimon referring to? He's not referring to a case where you did the Shechita at noon and just let it sit around and didn't do Zrika all day. You did Shechita at the very last minute and there wasn't time to do Zrika before the sunset. So what would Rabbi Shimon say, therefore, if you did Shechita 2 hours before sunset and you had time to do Zrika, you just didn't do it? Metame Tumat Ochlin, he would have to say it is Metame because you could have and should have done Zrika. But if that's the case, then Tosefta said that if there was lina lachar zrika tzvatame, liflog b'didei, they should clarify and distinguish. When do we say it's not matame tumatochlin? When do we say it's not matame tumatochlin? That is when there was no moment during the day when you could have done the zrika. But if it was done early enough that you could have done zrika, even though you didn't, it's matame tumat ochlin. The answer is achinami kamar. That's indeed what it said. Lan kodem shiyira el zrika. So they're claiming that the proper understanding or read of the Tosefta is not lan lifnei zrika, but lan lifnei shiyira el zrika. If it lapsed before there was a moment that you could have done zrika, and matame tumat ochlin, achar shiyira el zrika, matame tumat ochlin, regardless of whether you did the zrika or not. Is that really true? When you did a pigol, and remember, Shimon said pigol by mishkochim kalim, any kind of kochim, there's no tumat ochlin, and nonetheless, there is a mitzvah to do zrika, v'boy zarik, and there was time to do it. Rav Shimon said, across the board, no tumat ochlin. So my love, the pigol is zrika, aren't we talking about a case where he did the pigol? Yet the Zrika, when you did the Zrika, you said, I'm going to eat this 2 days from now. Lo, the pigol was Shechita. We're talking about where the pigol was at Shechita. And therefore, there was no moment that ever could have been mutar. The pigol was Zrika, my. So then what would you say, what would Rav Shimon say if the pigol was Bezrika? Chanami, the matame to matochlin. He would have to say, it is matame. Again, just like we had before. So if that's the case, again, as we had before, the reading of the Tosefta should be different. So when he said that pigol b'mincha is matameh, that would only be if the pigol, the earlier case, was b'shchita. Pigol b'zrika matameh tumat ochlin. If you did pigol b'zrika, since you should have done the zrika properly, and therefore we consider as if you did do the zrika properly for these purposes, and there was shata kosher, you're matameh tumat ochlin. Pigol mincha itzterichale. The answer is no. He wanted to stick with the pigol b'shchita case and leave it alone and not explicate further because they wanted to set it off against pigol b'mincha. Why? They afagav the pigol b'kmitza. When is the pigol going to happen in a mincha? At kmitza. And kometz b'mincha k'shchita dami. Kmitza is parallel to shchita as we saw at the beginning of the masachet. Afilu achim etamit tumat ochlin. It's still got tumat ochlin. So what they want to do is set off kmitza b'mincha where there was shata kosher, because you can eat grains, as opposed to pigol b'shchita, where there was no shata kosher, because you can't eat a live animal. All right, that's our take on it. Now, Amar Rashi, Amrita Shmata, coming to Rav Nachman. I repeated this entire piece in front of Rav Nachman, understanding Rav Shaya's take on Rav Shimon. Afilu teima lan mamash, afilu teima. And his answer to me was, you don't need to go into those gymnastics. Afilu teima lan mamash, afilu teima to pigol b'zrika. You could say that the lina was really a regular lina, where you did the shechita at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and never got to the zrika. And it could even be that the pigol was pigol b'zrika, not b'shechita. You don't need to create these fine scenarios. And his reason is, the parik, abai parik amar, ibai havezarik lo amrinan. Rav Nachman says we distinguish between redeeming and zrika. redeeming, we say, if there was an opportunity to redeem it and there was a motivation to redeem it, we consider it already redeemed. Kol omed liftot kepadui dami, as we know Rabbi Shimon said about parah aduma. But ibay avizari klomerina, we find no source that Rabbi Shimon says that something that could have been had zrika tamim, it's as if it had it. Is that really true? We challenge Rabbi Nachman, meitave klalam Rabbi Yeshua, kol shaitalo shatai heter lekohanim. This is the din of me'ila. Anything that had a shat heter lekohanim that the kohanim could have used or eaten, ain mo'alin ba, me'ila never applies anymore. Kol shaloitalo shatai heter lekohanim, but if it never had a moment of heter lekohanim, it went from being not yet mutar to out, mo'alin ba, then me'ila still applies. Ve'ezer shat heter lekohanim, what does he mean? Shalana v'shenitma v'shiyatza. Because when you did the shechita and you didn't yet do zrika, it had a theoretical moment of heter lekohanim before it lapsed, or before it became tamei, or before it went outside. What are things that never had shat heter? If you did shechita, that is, with machshevet pigul, meaning that the minute you did anything that would have made the animal mutar, it already was fouled. Or if psulin, like a czar or an onain, did kabbalat adam or zrikat adam, it never had a moment of heter. Now, ketani miyareisha, but in the opening clause of that, we said, what is shat heter? Shalana v'shenitma v'shiyatza. Ma'alav lana mamash, aren't we talking about really when it went overnight? Meaning you did shechita sometime in the afternoon and just let it sit. And we said that's called shat heter. Pachdi boy havizariku, and that's talking about a case that you could have done zrika, you should have done zrika, uktani den moalim, because we said that's considered shat heter lekohanim, that the kohanim did have a moment, in this case maybe a few hours, where this meat was mutar to them, even though it really wasn't, but since it could have been, and therefore meilu's off the table. Lo, ruyala tzeit ruyala tame ruyala lin. What that means is something where lina or yotze or tuma could have applied, meaning that you did the shechita, and then at that point, lina could have applied, but lina didn't yet apply. So then, what would you say about real lina? Hachinami de moalin, meila still applies because it's now lapsed. It's overnight. The kohanim never had a chance. If that's the case, then kol shayala shata heta the kohanim, kol shelo heta the shata heta the kohanim. Anything that's like theoretical. It should have said anything that has a moment of heter lekohanim, meaning there really is a moment where they were allowed to eat it, not a theoretical moment. That's the language that should have been there. So that doesn't work. Ela Amar Ravashi. Ravashi turns around to whoever it was who challenged Rav Nachman and said, "Meila tuma karamit. You're using meila to challenge tuma. In other words, you're claiming that the rules for meila about what we theoretically picture as being the proper process that could have happened, and we imagine that it did happen, and that makes shatet to the kohanim and meila is off the table, and you're using that to challenge our ruling about tumat ochlin." Whether something should have happened, they're two different worlds. Me'ila mishum kedusha v'lav kedusha hi. What makes me'ila happen if the kedusha is on it or it's been removed? That certain level of kedusha. Levata apakala kedusha te my hadra rachvala. Once the kedusha is gone, what's going to bring it back? Gone is gone. Tuma mishum uchla v'lav uchlahu. Tuma is because, do we define this as food or not? Kolecha di boi zarik matzi zarik le mashvile uchla. As what we say is that any time you had a circumstance where you could have done zrika, and that would have made it food, matame tumat ochlin. That is matame tumat ochlin. Hechad ibai zarek lo matzi zarek. But any situation where you couldn't do zrika, like after lina, well mashvila yuchla, it doesn't make it food. Lo matame tumat ochlin, and it's not matame. So the two things do not challenge each other because they're different considerations. So meitave, watch this. Hamevi asham talui v'roda shelo chata. A fellow brings an asham talui. You bring an asham talui if you did an act which may or may not have been a violation of a karet. You did a b'shogeg. You had two pieces of meat on the table. You ate one. The dog ate the other one, and you find out that one of them was chelev, one was shuman. You don't know which one you ate. You can't retrieve the other one. You have to bring an asham talui. And if you at some point find out that you really did violate the law, then you have to bring a chatat. Let's say the fellow brings the asham talui, and afterwards they find out he didn't sin. If he found out before Shechita, Yitzevi Rebbe Eidu, the Rebbe Meir. Meir says, it's chulin. Let it go out and graze. Happy life. Vechachamim omrim, Yirad Shistaev. You have to let it graze until it gets a mum. You sell it, and then the money goes to the Nadava. So it's not fully chulin. It's not chulin, but it can't be brought. Bring it. You got other chataim that the Asham Talui is there for. As we know, Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who says a person could bring an Asham Talui whenever he wants. Now, if on the other hand you already did Shita and you found out you didn't sin, then it's clear. You have to spill the blood out to burn the meat up. There's nothing you could do with this korban. Nizrak hadam, but if you already did zrika, what do you do? Habasar yeachel, let the meat be eaten by kohanim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilo adam bakos, you don't have to do zrika. Let's say you did shchita, and the dam was bakos, was in the chalice, about to do zrika, and you found out that the guy hadn't really sinned. You found the dog, and you found he ate the chalev. Yizarek babasar yochal. Do zrika, and let the meat be eaten. Mean to go ahead? V'yamarav Rabbi Yossi, v'shita Rabbi Shimon Omar. And Rabbi Yossi here is picking up on Rabbi Shimon's approach. Anytime you have a circumstance where Zrika is about to happen, it's as if it already happened. So therefore, if you have the Dam Bakos, the blood is in the chalice, it's as if you already did Zrika, and then we continue with it. All right? Now, if that's the case, that means that Rabbi Shimon clearly says, Kol Ha'omed Lizrok is Aruk Dami. The answer is, Midu Utama, is that really the case? We have a different explanation. Eretz Yisrael, it's Rabbi Yossi's reason for saying, go for it. Because he has a different shita. He says, when you have klei sharet, and you put something in it, they're mekadesh, even things that are psulin, to put up on the mizbeach. Which means this blood, which really shouldn't go on the mizbeach, but once it's in the klei sharet, it goes. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. But if Rabbi Shimon really said, then we should also say that any animal that's in the process, about to be burned, should consider already, be considered already burned and not there. If that's the case, why does Notar have Tumat Ochlin? And why does Par have Tumat Ochlin? Both of them rulings that Rabbi Shimon explicitly made, one in one Braita, one in the other Braita. Afra Ba'alman, you know, they're both things that are getting burnt up. You have to burn Notar, and the Paraduma is supposed to be burned up. So it's like dust, because you haven't burned it yet, but Kolo Medi Srovka Saruf Tami. Amalechi Barakodesh Machashratan. His answer was, the very fact that these things are being used for Tzorche Kedusha sanctifies them, sort of, shall we say, gives them special preciousness that until they're actually burned up, they're considered around. I understand that Chibat HaKodesh makes it strong enough that the thing becomes pasul. But likrui tome nami l'minui berishon v'sheni, is it tome enough that you would then start counting rishon and sheni, somebody touched it, etc.? So if that's the case, if tzarid shemanachod is a piece of mincha where the oil didn't get, it's a dry part. We know that food cannot become tamei unless it first got wet. And if this piece of the mincha never got any oil, it can't become tamei at all. But chibad hakodesh is mechashratan. So do we call it, this little piece, tamei enough to now count down from it that somebody who touches a rishon, and if that person touches food, that's a sheni? Rish Lakish is only asking on a doraita level. We're talking about on derabanan, there could be a rishon and sheni. Rish Lakish is asking on a doraita level, and for sure, you do not have rishon and sheni from a tzarid shel menachot. Okay, we will pick it up in the next Mishnah, as we are halfway through this very short parak, Yemitz Hashem, in the next podcast. We will pick it up with the with continuing on with the nature of different commitments in the Darim for Menachot. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.